Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We want to welcome you to Accessible World, to the Pat Price Tech Talk Training Room. And the date is April 27, 2009. My name is Robert Acosta, and I'm very pleased at this time to say that our honored guest tonight is Rick Harmon, who's going to talk to us about Windows 7. And as you all know, on May 5th, Windows 7 begins to be released. Still checking on Windows 7 throughout the summer. There may be another release in July, and then probably around Christmas it'll be released to the public. So we're going to hear about Windows 7. We know you'll have great questions along the way, and we're glad you're here. So without further ado, I'll present this.
Good evening, and thank you for having me here again this evening. Tonight, I'm going to talk to you about the upcoming release of Windows 7, which is the new operating system by Microsoft that will be the replacement to Windows Vista. Windows 7 was released as a beta on January 9th of this year, and this is what I will be showing you later in the presentation. On May 5th, in just another week or so, the release candidate for Windows 7 is expected to be released. What the release candidate is basically it's the final form of the operating system released to beta testers to find major bugs in it. Providing that there are no major bugs in the release candidate, this is basically what will be released to manufacturers in September, places such as Dell, HP, Sony, you know, all the places that make the computers and put the OEM versions of Windows on them. Then, perhaps before Christmas, and from what I've heard, no later than January of 2010, Windows 7 will officially release to the public. All right, many of you may be asking, why is it called Windows 7? I've done a little bit of research on this, and I found a couple of different things, and I'll tell you what I know. I don't know that it's absolutely 100% fact, but this is what I've heard. The first is it's the seventh major version of Windows to be released. First, there was Windows 3.1. Second, there was Windows 9X. Third, there was NT 4.0. Fourth was Windows 2000. Fifth was Windows XP. And sixth was Windows Vista. And then Windows 7 would be number 7. I'm not sure if this really is correct or not, because it omits several things. It omits Windows 286 and 386 and Windows 3.0 that came out prior to Windows 3.1, although they weren't hugely popular, and Windows 3.1 was the, you know, what became hugely popular. You know, that could be the reasoning there as to why they called Windows 3.1 the first major release, but it also leaves things out such as NT 3.0 and 3.51, which were also significant releases for Microsoft. So, not sure if this is all true, but it's what I did find out by doing some Googling. Number two, and this is, I guess, just as plausible, Windows 7 is based on NT kernel build 7.0, and this could be why it's called Windows 7, because it's the seventh major version of the NT OS, Vista being 6.0 of NT, XP being 5.1, yeah, Windows 2000 being 5.0, and then NT, you know, going backwards 4.0, and then 3.51 and 3.5. But that's another thing that I came up doing some Googling, so not sure, you know, which one of these is more true, but from what I've heard, the Windows 7 name is going to stick. It's not going to be called something different, so there you have that. One of the major complaints that people had with Windows Vista was it was so resource intensive. It needed a very fast computer with a lot of RAM to run correctly or to run very quickly. One of the nice things that I've seen with Windows 7 and have read through a lot of the blogs is that Windows 7 is going to be, it'll look basically exactly like Vista did. You won't notice a tremendous amount of differences. There will be a few things, but nothing major. It's just a tweaked version of Vista as far as visually. But one of the major differences with Windows 7 as compared to Windows Vista is it will be much more like XP in its footprint. And what I mean by footprint is what it will take to run it. Now, netbooks have become really popular. You know, everybody's talking about netbooks today. And netbooks are these little mini notebooks that run on a 1.6 gigahertz Intel Atom processor and typically either have a solid-state hard disk in them or a actual 160 gig laptop hard drive in them, but they've become really, really popular. And basically, Vista will not run on any of these machines. Vista just wants too much resources to do this. But what you'll find out when you try to run Windows 7 on one of these is you'll notice it runs very well. And Microsoft, I believe, is going to target these with Windows 7 once it comes out aggressively. So that's going to be a nice thing. You know, you'll be able to run Windows 7 on a lot older computers than you would have ever been able to run on XP, or not XP, Vista, I'm sorry. And, you know, that's going to be really great. You know, I've messed with it here on a fast machine that's running Vista. So, you know, I haven't really tried it on any of the older machines, but things I've heard from people have been very, very promising. All right. Some of the differences in Windows 7 over Vista and even XP, some of the things that won't be included are, one, in Windows 7 there will not be any email client. So you'll have to use a third-party email client such as Outlook from Office or Thunderbird for, you know, Mozilla, or Windows Live Mail from Microsoft, or whatever else you might choose to use. And that has set off a few alarms with blind people, you know, considering Outlook Express and Windows Mail are so easy to use, so blind-friendly, and Windows Live Mail really isn't all that easy to use, you know, with a screen reader. So that's going to be one problem with Windows 7, but hopefully it's just a minor problem. The other thing that will not be included, or actually in this case able to be done with Windows 7 that you are able to do with the earlier operating systems, is there will not be a classic mode. Windows 7 will not allow you, as Vista did, to use a more XP-like look. It's, for whatever reason, going to be locked. You know, you'll have to use the Windows 7 like you would Vista out of the box, you know, where when you hit the start button, you have the search and things like that. You can, however, still in the control panel get your list view, so that is, you know, that is good. You know, they still It's not, it's a two-list list, so it's a little different navigating, and I'll show you that in a demonstration, but it's not too bad. So those are the two major things that won't be available in Windows 7 that were available in prior operating systems. Okay, two things that are interesting, and I think a lot of people may like, is that, and these are things I've heard from blogs and other podcasts, so I guess, you know, until we actually see Windows 7 out, you know, we can't be guaranteed, but Microsoft supposedly is going to allow many components of Windows 7 to be totally uninstalled, you know, so things like IE8 and Windows Media Player 12 and things like that, if you don't want them, if you say you use Winamp and Firefox all the time, you say, well, I don't want IE, for the first time, Microsoft is actually going to allow you to totally remove these components from the system. You know, there will be no trace of them in the system. They won't, you know, in Vista and XP, you could hide them to an extent, but in Windows 7, you'll actually be able to totally remove them. One other interesting thing I read, and this should be quite interesting if it's true, is that Microsoft is going to give all Windows 7 purchasers a downgrade option to XP, I guess, if they don't like Windows 7 for whatever reason. Now, you know, like I said, none of this has been verified, you know, directly from Microsoft, but these are things that have been heard, you know, supposedly leaked from Microsoft, let's just say that. And, you know, if that's the case, that in itself will be very, very interesting. All right, some of the new things in Windows 7, as I said, is IE8 will be the default browser, and you won't be able to go back to IE7 or IE6. That's the minimum that you'll be able to run. As I said, Windows Media Player 12 will be out for Windows 7. Not a whole lot of changes there. Kind of hard to tell. JAWS doesn't have it labeled, or doesn't show it as labeled all the ways around, so kind of hard to get a real good feel for it right now, but it does work with JAWS currently. Another interesting thing that I saw in Windows 7 is something that started in Windows Vista, is the programs, problems, reports, and solutions. Whenever you have a crash of some sort, you know, Vista will go out and see if it can find a solution, and it will notify you about it. Well, Windows 7 is taking this one step farther, and when something crashes, it'll go out and look for a solution. When it finds a solution, it'll actually fix the problem for you, then notify you. And I've seen it do that a couple times on the beta, and it's really interesting. Another new feature that I seen that I liked on Windows 7 may have some use. It's called Sticky Notes. And what Sticky Notes allows you to do is to place notes on your desktop that you can come back to, you know, like reminders and stuff. And visually, they look just like a sticky note. So I'll show those off briefly. And that's another new thing in Windows 7 that was, it's kind of neat. I liked it. And one last new thing that I've noticed in Windows 7 is what they call the Action Center. The Action Center kind of takes the Security Center, the Problem Center in Vista, and a lot of the administrative stuff and maintenance stuff, and wraps it all into one center. And I've looked at that some. I don't currently really have a real good grasp of how it works, but it's interesting. One other thing that I forgot to mention that people using Vista especially will like is the UAC function on Windows 7 has been altered from the way that it was introduced in Windows Vista. For those of you using Windows Vista, you know that UAC is the User Account Control, or UAC, and it comes up all the time asking you if you're sure you want to do this and you're sure you want to do that. Do you want to allow this? Do you want to allow that? And it's annoyed a lot of people. It's a very, very good security function, but it has annoyed a lot of people, and a lot of people have turned it off, unfortunately. So what Windows 7 has done is they've altered the way UAC functions, and it's been reported that UAC should come up about a third of the time, UAC should come up one-third less than it does currently in Vista. The nice thing about UAC in Windows 7 is it's not just off or on as it is in Vista. You have four different settings. The default is like a two-thirds setting, and it allows UAC to come up less than it did in Vista. There's still the 100% setting that allows it to act just like it did in Vista. There's also a 33% setting that allows it to come up even less. And then there's the off setting. So it will give that a lot of flexibility. And hopefully that will make people that didn't like UAC and Vista like it more in Windows 7. All right. One last thing before we go on to the demonstration where I actually show you some stuff in Windows 7 is accessibility. Windows Vista had several areas in it that weren't overly accessible. Things such as the speech recognition, the Windows calendar, the Network Sharing Center. All of these were, to some extent, not usable, especially the Windows Calendar. It essentially wasn't usable at all. The Network Sharing Center is very, very difficult to use. You have to do a lot of JAWS cursoring. What they've done in Windows 7 is, from an accessibility point, Microsoft has made sure that everything that is in the operating system is accessible. You know, if there's something you want to do, need to be able to change, you should be able to get to it. And I'll show this to an extent in the demonstration as well. But Microsoft has really taken a lot of advances on accessibility in the operating system, you know, and that's one good thing. And it's something we always hope that they, you know, continue to keep doing. All right. I guess that wraps up my introduction into Windows 7. And what we are going to do next is I'm going to demonstrate various things in Windows 7 using JAWS 10 and possibly system access and window eyes if time permits. Then after that, I will wrap up and we'll take questions from the audience. Okay, before I start the demonstration of Windows 7 using the various screen readers, let me make one comment. As of today, none of the assistive technology companies support Windows 7. Now, Windows 7 does work well with JAWS 10, System Access 3.0, Window Eyes 7.01, and I do believe current versions of NVDA all work well with Windows 7 at this point. But remember, none of them currently support Windows 7, and there are a few hiccups here and there that, you know, if I run into them on the demonstration, just realize that, you know, the support isn't officially there yet. I have noticed that Saratech System Access is doing updates that do deal with Windows 7, so I'm assuming that they will most definitely support Windows 7 before release, as they did Vista. And I am very, very hopeful that Freedom Scientific, when they release betas for JAWS 11 here later in September, October-ish time frame, will also start to officially adopt Windows 7. And the same thing with GW Micro and their next version that they release. Okay, I am now up in Windows 7 here on my computer. And we'll just start with JAWS 10, since that's what comes up by default.
Computer 2 of 17, Rick.
Okay, and I am here on my desktop.
Computer, network, recycle bin, control panel.
And got all my icons here. And if we start tabbing around.
Tab, start button.
Here's the start button.
Space, menu, search box, edit, search programs and files.
And it's basically just like Vista. Here we have our search where we could type in different things that we would want to do quickly, such as control panel or Windows update or, you know, whatever you wanted to do. You know, that's one way of doing it. If we use our right arrow.
S. Sleep, S.
We have other options. Here are our sleep and restart options.
Switch user, double, log off, L, log, O.
That I'm using my up and down arrows for here.
Restart, R, sleep, S, switch user, W, S.
Okay, and if I left arrow from here, we should be in another list that I can up and down arrow through.
Rick, 1 of 10, R, documents, 2 of 10, D, pictures, 3 of 10, P.
Some of the places that we can get to quickly.
Music, 4 of 10, games, 5, computer, 6 of 10, C, control panel, 7, default programs, devices and printers, 9 of, help and support, 10 of 10, H, S.
And I'm not sure why it's saying S there, but we're back down at the bottom. If I left arrow again.
Search box edit, search programs and files.
We're back into our search, and if I up arrow from here.
All programs, submenu, A.
If our all programs where, if I go into here.
Windows Live closed, 30 of 30, W. Back submenu, B, search box edit, search default programs, 1, 1, desktop gadget gallery, 1, 2 of 30, D.
And we got all of our programs and stuff in here.
Default pro, search box edit, search programs and files. S. Help and support, 10 of 10, devices and printers, 9 of 10, help and support, 10 of 10, S. Search box edit, search programs and files. Back submenu, Windows Live closed, 30 of 30, the back sub. Sticky notes submenu, 1 of 1, S.
And now I'm back into the start menu. This gets a little hard to navigate.
Search box edit, search programs and files.
Okay, and that's that there. I thought we had my internet and email there, but I don't.
Sticky notes submenu, 1 of 1, S.
Yeah, okay. Then I'll just get out of this.
Leaving menus. Tab, Internet Explorer button.
Okay. We're down to the taskbar now, and this is another place they've did a bit of changing on Windows 7. And I'm not sure how the screen readers are going to deal with this exactly, but what they've done is they've made the taskbar more like it is, I guess, on the Mac, where it's a dock that has all your running programs and different programs that you want to run. Kind of like on previous operating systems here for Windows, where it kind of combines what's in the taskbar with the quick start, I guess would be the closest analogy. But visually, I guess it's pretty easy to tell the difference of what can run and what is actually running. Now, if I left and right arrow here.
Windows Explorer button. Internet Explorer button. Windows Media Player button.
These are things in the taskbar that can be run. These aren't things that are actually running right now. I don't have any tasks running.
Internet Explorer button.
But if I did, let's say, let me go back up to the desktop.
Windows M, desktop, Avast, anti-Epson scan. Avast, control panel, recycle bin. Network, computer.
I don't know. Let's just bring up a computer.
Enter, computer, hard disk drives, multi-select, list box, not selected, Windows 7, left paren, C, colon, right paren, send feedback.
Okay, and then let me go back down to the taskbar.
Windows M, desktop, tab, start button, tab, Internet Explorer button, computer button.
See, now there is computer there in the mix, and, you know I'm running it, but if you just sit down here, you wouldn't know.
Internet Explorer button, Windows Media Player button, computer button, Internet Explorer button.
Whether any of these programs were running or not running, so I'm not sure how this is going to be addressed, because visually you can tell the icons look slightly different, but I'm not sure what the screen readers are going to do with it, so that should be interesting.
Tab, system tray, JAWS for Windows button.
And then we have our system tray.
Avast, virus recovery, Avast, on dash, safely remove hardware, action center button, network, digital audio interface, colon, 76% button, 2:55 p.m. clock.
And our clock. And if I tab again.
Tab, show desktop button.
We have a show desktop button, and so far I'm not sure what this does. I've pressed on it, and I really haven't noticed any difference, so, you know, I guess we're going to have to wait to see exactly what that does.
Shift tab, system tray, JAWS for Windows button.
Oops.
Tab, show desktop button, tab, desktop, folder view, list view, computer, 2 of 17.
And we're back up to the main part of the desktop. So as you can see there, there really are no huge differences except for the taskbar itself as to, you know, what is running and what can be run. All right. I guess what I'll show you next is the control panel.
Menu, search box, edit, search programs and files.
Now, there are a lot of ways you can do this. I can simply type in control panel here, and that's what I'm going to do. Or I could right arrow once and down arrow to control panel, but that would take longer. So let me just type it in here.
C-L-O-N-T-R-O-L, control panel.
And you don't have to type the whole thing. Just start typing it, and it'll guess as to what you want. So I hit enter here.
Enter, leaving menus, control panel, search box, edit, search control panel, send feedback.
Okay. Now, as I was saying earlier, by default, the control panel is in a kind of like a groups type of different things you might want to do. And we'll go through that briefly.
Tab, control panel, home link. Tab, system and security link. Tab, reveal your computer status link.
And
shift tab, system and security link.
Yeah, here's some of the things you can do. System and security.
Tab, review your computer status link.
Review your computer status.
Tab, backup your computer link.
And these are just groups of things. You know, if you go into these, you have more options. But this is what the control panel looks like by default.
Tab, find and fix problems link. Tab, network and internet link. Tab, view network status and tasks link. Tab, choose home group and sharing options link. Tab, hardware and sound link. Tab, view devices and printers link. Tab, add a device link. Tab, programs link. Tab, uninstall a program link. Tab, user accounts and family safety link. Tab, add or remove user accounts link. Tab, set up parental controls for any user link. Tab, appearance and personalization link.
And you could leave it like this. It's no big deal. But if you wanted to kind of look a little more like a normally, or the classic type of view, there's a place here you can click.
Tab, change the theme link. Tab, change desktop background link. Tab, adjust screen resolution link. Tab, clock, language, and region link. Tab, change keyboards or other input methods link. Tab, change display language link. Tab, ease of access link. Tab, let Windows suggest settings link. Tab, optimize visual display link. Tab, all control panel items link.
This all control panel items link. If you click on this, it will reconfigure the control panel back to more like a list view, so I'll do that.
Space, action center link, send feedback.
Okay, now the control panel looks more like it would in a classic view, with one exception. This is a list, but it's a two-column list, so if I go up and down.
Autoplay link, biometric devices link, clear type text tuner link, biometric autoplay action center link.
Now, if I right arrow from here,
administrative tools link.
You can see it's two columns.
Action center link.
So what I do when I go through here is I just either use first key navigation, which you can do to jump directly to something if you know what it is, or you can just tab through the options, and we'll just briefly go through here, and anything that is new, I'll comment on.
Tab autoplay link. Tab biometric devices link.
Biometric devices, I believe, is something new in Windows 7. That's security things like thumbprint scanners and things like that for security.
Tab clear type text tuner link. Tab credential manager link.
Not sure what the credential manager is, but I believe that's new.
Tab default location link. Tab desktop gadgets link.
One thing that has also changed from Vista is the gadgets. There was a sidebar on Vista that ran the gadgets. The sidebar is now gone in Windows 7, and the gadgets now will just run on the desktop just like a regular program. So don't have to mess with the sidebar anymore.
Tab devices and printers link. Tab ease of access center link. Tab folder options link. Tab game controllers link. Tab home group link. Tab internet options link. Shift tab home group link.
Home group link is something new, and that is for Windows 7 systems. I guess if you have multiple Windows 7 systems on a network, they can be grouped together as a home group. I don't know much about this, and I haven't been able to mess with it since I've only got one Windows 7 computer running here in the network.
Tab internet options link. Tab keyboard link. Tab mouse link. Tab notification area icons link. Tab parental controls link. Tab performance information and tools link. Tab phone and modem options link. Tab programs and features link. Tab regional and language options link. Tab sound link. Tab sync center link. Tab system icons link. Tab taskbar and start menu link. Tab troubleshooting link. Tab Windows cart space link. Tab Windows firewall link. Tab Windows update link. Tab administrative tools link. Tab backup and restore link. Tab BitLocker drive encryption link. Tab color management link. Tab date and time link. Tab default programs link. Tab device manager link. Tab display link. Tab feedback link.
And why this doesn't go in exact alphabetical order, I'm not sure while we're tabbing around here.
Tab fonts link. Tab getting started link. Tab indexing options link. Tab iSCSI initiator link.
So as you can see, there are a lot of control panel icons here, a lot more, especially than people that are used to just using Windows XP. And there are some differences, with Vista and Windows 7 over Windows XP that I really don't have a lot of time here, unfortunately, to go over.
Tab, location and other sensors link.
I don't know. This is something new too, this location and sensors link. I'm not sure what that is, but that's new in 7.
Tab network and sharing center link. Tab offline files link. Tab pen and touch link. Tab personalization link.
Touch is a new feature in Windows 7. It is an option that Windows 7 can use touch panel screens. It's nothing that you have to use, so you don't have to get overly alarmed on that. I know some people have gotten alarmed that they think, Windows 7 is going to go completely to touch screens, and that is not the case. It is just simply an option.
Tab power options link. Tab recovery link.
Not sure what recovery is either.
Tab remote app and desktop connections link. Tab speech recognition options link. Tab system link. Tab tablet PC settings link. Tab text-to-speech link. Tab user accounts link. Tab Windows Defender link. Tab Windows Sideshow link. Tab toolbar desktop split button.
And we're wrapping back around.
Tab search box edit. Tab control panel home link. Tab CP category panel. Tab action center link.
Okay, and we are back around. So that in a real brief tour is the desktop and the control panel. Okay. Next, I'm going to quickly show you the changes in UAC from Vista and give you a quick look at that.
Menu, search box, edit, search programs and files. CONTROL, control panel.
Now I'll just go back into control panel.
Enter. Leaving menus, all control panel items, CP category panel, send feedback.
Yeah, and that should be under users.
U, user accounts link.
So I'll just hit U.
Enter. Create a password for your account link, send feedback. Tab, change your picture link. Tab, change your account name link. Tab, change your account type link. Tab, manage another account link. Tab, change user account control settings link.
Yeah, we can go in here.
Space, tell me more about user account control settings link, send feedback.
And we'll tab around here.
Tab, up, down, slider, 66%.
In Vista, this just was either an off or an on. And in Windows 7, it's a slider.
100%, 100%, 66%, 33%.
I'm using my left and right arrows here to slide this.
0%, 33%, 66%.
And by default, it's on 66%. Let's go up here to the About link.
Shift tab, tell me more about user account control settings link.
And let's see if I can get into this and show you the description of the differences.
Space, Windows Help and Support, send feedback. Cancel button.
Okay.
Search Help Edit. Search Help. Search Help. Tab. Graphic warning. Windows Help and Support, send feedback. Ask option. Search Help. You've lost your connection to online help. Verify that you're connected to the internet and then try to connect to online help again. What are user account control settings? Left bracket. This content is preliminary and subject.
Okay. And sometimes it will warn me that I'm not connected to the internet, and I know I definitely am. Let me see if I can get over to this.
Tab, connect to online help link. Tab, administrator link. Tab, malicious software link. Tab, search help edit. Tab, what are user account control settings? Graphic. Blank. You've lost your connection to link. Connect to online help. Again. Blank. Heading level 1, what are user account control settings? Blank. Left bracket, this content is preliminary and subject to change. Right bracket. Blank. User account control left paren UAC. Right paren notifies you before changes are made to your computer that require. Link administrator. Dash level permission, and this helps prevent link malicious software from being installed to your computer. The default UAC setting notifies you when programs try to make changes to your computer, but you can control how often you are notified by UAC by adjusting the settings. Blank. The following table provides a description of the UAC settings and the potential impact of each setting to the security of your computer.
Yeah, and this is what I want to show you. Like I said, in Vista, UAC is either on or off, and this will describe what this works like on Windows 7. So I'm just going to arrow down through here.
Blank. Setting. Blank. Description. Blank. Security impact.
And this is a table.
Blank. Always notify me and dim my desktop until I respond. Blank. You will be notified before programs make changes to your computer or Windows settings that require the permissions of an administrator. When you are notified, your desktop will be dimmed, and you must either approve or deny the request in the UAC dialog box before you can do anything else on your computer. The dimming of your desktop is referred to as the secure desktop because other programs cannot run while it is dimmed. Blank.
And that would be the 100% setting, and that is what happens in Vista. Anytime UAC comes up, the desktop is dimmed, you can't do anything but answer the question. And all other programs stop at that point. Now, here's what happens by default in Windows 7.
This is the most secure setting. When you are notified, you should carefully read the contents of each dialog box before allowing changes to be made to.
Okay, and it's still continuing on with the 100% setting.
Your computer. Blank. Always notify me. Blank. You will be notified before programs make changes to your computer or Windows settings that require the permissions of an administrator. You need to either approve or deny the request in the UAC dialog box to continue with that task, but you can still do other things on your computer while the UAC dialog box is open. This setting is fairly secure.
Now, this is the default setting for Windows 7. If UAC comes up, you can still do other things, but the program in question will stop running. So that allows you to keep doing other things. You know, your other programs that are running, they don't halt until you answer the question. And this is the mostly secure setting that defaults to Windows 7.
Blank.
Okay, here's the 33% setting.
Because the UAC dialog box is not on the secure desktop with this setting, other programs might be able to interfere with the dialog's visual appearance.
Okay, that's still with the 67%, sorry.
This is a small security risk if you already have a malicious program running on your computer. Blank. Notify me only when programs try to make changes to my computer.
This is the 33% setting.
Blank. You will be notified before programs make changes to your computer that require the permissions of an administrator. You will not be notified if you try to make changes to Windows settings that require the permissions of an administrator. You will be notified if a program outside of Windows tries to make changes to a Windows setting. Blank. This setting has a medium level of security. It is usually safe to allow changes to be made to Windows settings without you being notified. However, certain programs that come with Windows can have commands or data passed to them, and malicious software can take advantage of this by using these programs to install files or change settings on your computer. Blank. Turn off UAC.
Okay, and that is the 33% setting, and that's kind of a medium level of security. You still get UAC for most critical things, but it will come up less than it does at the default setting. And then the last setting here is to turn it off.
Blank. You will not be notified before any changes are made to your computer. If you are logged on as an administrator, programs can make changes to your computer without you knowing about it. If you are logged on as a standard user, any changes that require the permissions on an administrator will automatically be denied. If you select this setting, you will need to restart the computer to complete the process of turning off UAC. Once UAC is off, people that log on as administrator will always have the permissions of an administrator. Blank. This is the least secure setting. When you turn off UAC, you open up your computer to potential security risks. If you turn off UAC, you should be careful about which programs you run because they will have the same access to the computer as you do. This includes reading and making changes to protected system areas, your personal data, saved files, and anything else stored on the computer. Programs will also be able to communicate and transfer information to and from anything your computer connects with, including the internet.
Okay. And I just briefly wanted to go through that so people can see the exact changes to UAC over Vista. And again, hopefully this will make more people want to use it since it won't be as intrusive as it is on Vista. Okay, one of the other new things that I wanted to show you that I liked and kind of thought was really interesting is the sticky notes.
Menu, search box, edit, search for all programs, submenu, sticky notes, submenu, 1 of 1, S. Enter. Leaving menus, sticky note, note edit.
And it is very, very simple to use. When you click on sticky notes, you come up into an edit box, and you can just type a reminder or whatever for yourself. I'll just type in something here.
T-E-S-T. Space R-E-M-I-N-D-E-R.
Okay. And
applications, context menu, C, cut unavailable, C, copy unavailable, paste unavailable, P, delete unavailable, select all, S, blue, B, green, G, pink, P, purple, P, white, W.
And you can change the colors of your sticky notes here in the applications key.
Yellow, Y, cut unavailable, C. Applications. Tab.
Oops.
Escape. Leaving menus. Note edit. Test reminder. Tab.
And I'm trying to remember here.
New note button.
Yeah, if you hit your Alt key, you can create more new notes.
Test reminder. Note edit.
And I'm just arrowing up and down through here.
Test reminder. Test reminder.
Oops.
New note button. Delete note button.
And when you hit your Alt key, you have the option to either create a new note or delete the note.
New note button. Delete note button. Test reminder. Note edit.
Okay, and I'm back in here. And you can keep editing this.
Enter.
I don't know.
Enter. D R period space A P P O I N T M E N T space T O M M O R O W space 3 P J J M.
Okay.
DR, appointment, blank, test reminder, blank.
Now let's just say I want to create a new note.
New note button.
And I believe I hit space on that.
Space, sticky note, note edit, blank, blank.
Okay, and this is a new note. And this will come up and we'll say
T-E-S-T space O-T-E space 2 period.
Okay. And can hit our Alt key.
New note button. Delete note button.
You can delete it.
New note button.
Or have a new note.
Test note 2. No, test note 2. Test note 2.
Okay, and I believe to go back and forth between these notes.
Sticky note. Note edit.
Yeah.
DR. Appointment. Blank. Test reminder.
You just do Control Tab. So you can have as many notes up on the screen basically as you want. And to shift back and forth through them, you just Control Tab.
Sticky note. Note edit. Test note 2.
And if you want to get rid of a note, hit your Alt key.
New note button. Delete note button.
Left and right arrow here.
New note button. Delete note button.
And hit your space bar.
Space. Sticky note. Note edit. Blank. Test reminder. Test reminder. Blank. DR. Apotamro 3 p.m.
Okay. And like I said, if you're partially sighted, and you could hit your applications key here.
Applications. Context. Copy unavailable. Paste unavailable. Delete unavailable. Select all. S. Blue. B.
And you could even change them unless...
Green, G.
Maybe I want green notes.
Enter, leaving menus, note edit. Tom wrote DR, appointment.
And these notes, like I said, visually look just like sticky pad notes up on your desktop. So, that's a neat little feature. And if I reboot at this point and would come back up, say tomorrow, my sticky notes are right there. I can Alt-Tab to them. They're in the Alt-Tab sequence. And you can keep tabs on your reminders that way. And it's a nice little feature. I like it a lot, and hopefully you guys will too. All right, now we have currently running here on the Windows 7 machine System Access. And I'll just show you briefly that it works quite well navigating around the desktop and the control panel and everything here too.
Computer. Network. Recycle bin. Control panel. Avast, and Epson scan size, not start button. Start menu, sticky notes submenu. All programs submenu, search programs and files. Search box, shutdown, split button. Closes all open programs, shuts down Windows, and then turns off your computer.
And actually this reads a little bit better here than JAWS did.
Menu opened, sleep, S. Saves your session and puts the computer in a low power state so that you can quickly resume working. Shutdown. Split button. Rick. Documents. Pictures. Music. Games. Computer. Control panel. Start button. Running applications toolbar. System access to go Windows Internet Explorer button. System access to go computer button. Windows Media Player button. Windows Media Player. System access to go Windows Internet Explorer button. System access to go Windows Internet Explorer.
Okay.
User promoted notification area toolbar. Avast. Virus Recovery Database VRDB Generator button. Avast. Virus Recovery Database VRDB Generator. Avast. Safely remove hardware, system access button, action center button, network local and view available networks.
Okay, and there's one thing that both JAWS and system access kind of sticks on here is if you go into the system tray and you go to the network and you hover on that for too long, it gets stuck there.
Desktop. Start running applications to user promoted Avast safely system access actions network local and inter digital audio interface 7 clock 343 show desktop button desktop list Epson scan size 9.
And as you can see, the desktop works good. Let's just go to control panel here real quick.
Start menu, sticky notes submenu, all programs, search programs and file. Oh. Tab.
Oops.
Blank. C O N T R O L. Tab. Blank.
No, that doesn't work.
Desktop. List. Epson scan. Start menu. Search programs and files. Search box. Editable text. Blank.
Let's try this one more time.
C-O-N-T-R-O-L. NTROL. End of line. Tab.
Okay. And apparently that doesn't quite work here with system access.
Desktop. Gold wave size. Start menu. Stick. Cleaner size.
Come
start
on.
Menu. Stick all programs. Search programs and files.
There we go.
Search box. Shut down. Rick. Docu. Picture. Music. Games. Computer. Control panel. Task all control panel items. Link. Category panel. Action center. Autoplay. Biometric device. Clear type text. Credential manager. Default location. Desktop gadgets. Devices and printers. Ease of access center. Folder options. Game controllers. Home group. Link.
And as you can see, system access, for the most part, works quite well with Windows 7 as well. And I haven't noticed a whole lot of problems there other than that little search problem I had. I thought that was working. Not sure why it's not.
Taskbar. Desktop. List. Cleaner. Size. 1.79 KB. Item type. Rick.
Okay. And we really don't need to do a whole lot more with that. I just wanted to show you that that does work. I was going to show you WindowEye 7.01 as well, but I don't have it currently installed on the Windows 7 machine. I thought I did, but it does work very well. I've heard from other WindowEye users that it works very well at this point, and so we won't go any further with that. All right. Well, this just gives you a very brief introduction into Windows 7 and how it works with the various screen readers. Due to time constraints, I don't want to go on any longer, so we'll be able to have plenty of time to answer questions from the audience. But did want to give you at least a quick look at Windows 7 here with JAWS especially and system access to show you that they do indeed work very well with it. All right, this wraps up my presentation. And again, I thank everybody for having me here to discuss this great new operating system. Anybody using Vista, I think, will have absolutely no problems whatsoever using Windows 7. Won't notice any differences hardly at all, except maybe it'll be peppier than it was with Vista. And hopefully people out in the audience that are using XP that are considering having to move up, I hope this shows you that Windows 7 will not be that hard to use for you guys as well. So, again, thank you for letting me do this presentation, and I will now take any questions from the audience.
Hi, Rick. There's one thing that I was concerned about. Well, first of all, thanks for the presentation. What about the lack of an email client? I was temporarily away, and so I don't know whether you talked about that. The lack of an email client concerns me, especially if Windows Live Mail is as non-accessible as I have seen that it is so far for myself when I tried it once briefly.
Well, that is a good, valid point, and that has caused some alarm in the blind community. And correct, Windows 7 will not come with any email client, unfortunately. And don't know exactly what the reason for this is, but that was the decision made by Microsoft. So, yeah, your choices are things like Outlook, which comes with Office, which some people like a lot. It's not one of my favorites, but I can use it. Or you could use something like Mozilla Thunderbird, or perhaps, I guess, Eudora, or, as you said, Windows Live Mail. And, yeah, right at this point in time, Windows Live Mail isn't the most accessible program out there. Hopefully, you know, either Microsoft will do something about it, or the AT people will script it somehow, and that's actually the hope I think, you know, we'll all have, is that the scripts will take care of that problem, hopefully. But, yeah, it is a minor inconvenience, and hopefully it will get addressed.
Okay, we weren't hearing you to the person who wanted to ask that question. The next question, that is, if you want to text chat, F8, write your question, and enter, and we'll call on Ron shortly to see if there are any text chat questions. Okay, who has the next question?
Yeah, my name is Terry from Hartford. I was wondering, I have Windows XP Home. How much would it cost to upgrade to Windows 7 and just skip Windows Vista? Do you have any idea?
No pricing has been announced as yet as to what upgrade costs are going to be, so I can't answer that question at all.
Somebody's trying really hard to get in, and we are not hearing you. I'm sorry. You might try F8, write your question, and enter, and Ron will read it, and Rick will do his best to answer you. Ron, are there any text chat questions at this time, please?
Yes, I have three at this point. One of them is, Mike T. asks, will screen magnifiers like ZoomText and Magic work with Windows 7?
Well, I'm a total, so I don't know a whole lot about screen magnification. One of the new enhancements in Windows 7 is a full screen magnifier that will be available to any computer that's capable of running the Arrow video system. And from what I've heard, it's a nice magnifier, works well. I would definitely assume that things like Magic and ZoomText would certainly run. You may need a newer version in order to run on Windows 7, but yeah, I'm sure they're certainly going to run.
This is Jerry Hogan, San Antonio. Very, very good presentation. And I may be off a little off topic here, but Windows Movie Maker. Using my video camera, even though I'm severely visually impaired, I have sighted assistant, but is there Windows Movie Maker on there?
Yes. Let me check here real quick. Let me lock my key down. Okay, and let me
menu, search box edit, search programs, all programs. Search box edit, default pro desktop gadget W, Windows DVD Maker 1, 9 of 31.
Yeah, we have the Windows DVD Maker, which allows you to burn things from the Media Center and the Movie Maker, so let me do this again.
W, Windows Fax and Scan, W, Windows Live Mail, W, Windows Live Messenger, W, Windows Media Center 1, 13 of 31. W, Windows Media Player, 1, W, Windows Update, 1, W, Winamp Closed, 30 of 30, W, Windows Live Closed, 31 of 31.
Read something in the blogs that was stating that Windows Movie Maker wasn't quite ready for Windows 7 in the beta, but yeah, I do believe it's in there, and also, if it's a newer video camera, it will hook in to the computer and you can use it through Media Center. That's a couple of things I just read the other day. So, yeah, you should be able to do it one way or the other.
Another question from the text chat from John O'Rourke. He asks, if we download the release candidate next week, will we be hit with an additional charge for Windows 7 when the final version is released?
Oh, no, definitely not. The release candidate is a general release for beta testers that will go public on May 5th. It is a free download. You'll download what is called an ISO image, an ISO image, and you'll have to burn that onto a DVD, and then you install the release candidate off of that. There will be no charge for that, and it will run for a certain amount of time. One of the rumors I've heard is it'll run till June 1st of next year, you know, 2010. But no, it does not impact the cost of purchasing Windows 7 once it comes out to the consumers in any way.
Kelly Burma asks, am I correct in assuming that Windows 7 is only going to work for 64-bit operating systems?
No, that is incorrect. Windows 7 will be the last operating system released by Microsoft that will actually still run on the 32-bit platform. Right here, the beta I am running is the 32-bit version. There is also a 64-bit version available, same for the release candidate. And when it comes out, there will be a 32-bit version.
Okay, any other questions? I think someone's trying to get through, but we're not hearing you, if you are. So if you're having trouble, hit F8, write your question and enter, and we should be okay to read your question. Any other questions here?
Hi, Rick. This is Matthew from Phoenix, Arizona. And I'm wondering, in your demonstration, it was nice and clear, the JAWS and things. Have they put back the what you hear, that's if it's supported by sound cards, or is there some sort of workaround? Because that's an important feature for audio people.
Yes, it definitely is a very, very important question for all of us that do audio recording. And I don't have a 100% sure answer for you yet. I haven't got that deep. I will definitely get into that when the release candidate comes out. I know my Creative Card has a beta driver. It does have a What You Hear capability on it. I've yet to use it. What I was doing for this recording is I recorded on XP, and I piped Windows 7 in through a mixer into, you know, so I could record with Goldwave on the XP side. But yes, from what I am hearing, hopefully that will work better, and hopefully I'll have an answer pretty soon, and I'll do another Windows 7 First Looks podcast that I'll put up on my website and up on Blind Cool Tech that hopefully very soon will address that that exact question.
Bob, this is Marcia. Are you hearing me now? I was the one trying before. I've never had this problem before.
Yes, we are, Marcia. And ask away if you have a question.
Great, thanks. Yes, I do. Fine presentation, Rick. And I'm using Windows XP. And I noticed as you were going through the control panel, there was no such thing as an add or remove programs link. How is that addressed in Windows 7? I don't know if that's a thing in Vista as well, but where do you do that kind of thing with Windows 7? Thank you.
Good question. And starting in Vista and going on into Windows 7, add remove programs is now called programs and features, and it has the programs that are installed on the computer inside there, and a lot of nice little additions. You can get to your list using first key navigation. You don't just have to up and down arrow through it anymore. If you want to get to the end of the list, you can hit end, and it's been enhanced a lot. But yeah, they've renamed it, and it's now called programs and features.
Hi, yes, Lillian Way from Philadelphia, and I have a question. Back when you were talking about the free release, would that work if people wanted to go try it, if they have XP, to see if they like it before they, you know, pay for it?
Yes, it should. You might want to be careful, you know, what computer you put it on. I wouldn't necessarily put it on your computer that you're running XP on if that's your only computer, because you will have to install it, you know, over top of XP. You have to remove XP in order to put it on. But, yeah, you could do that if you had a computer you wanted to try it on and just play with it and see if you liked it. Run it over the summer before Windows 7 actually comes out and see what you think of it.
Okay. I was just curious. Thank you. I enjoyed the presentation also. Very good.
Thank you, Lillian. We all did. It was just great. Okay. Ron, any more text chat questions? Some of the guys do that a lot.
Yes, I have a couple more. First one's from Beth. She says, regarding email, could you use System Access Mobile Network? Serotech now has an interface for training Vista speech recognition using System Access. Have you heard if they will do this with Windows 7?
Yes, you most definitely could use Serotek's email system on Windows 7. That wouldn't be any problem at all to use. The second question about the speech recognition, I do know there have been changes in Windows 7 to speech recognition. It's supposed to be better than it was in Vista. I don't know as of yet what anybody is doing with it. Yeah, I do realize that Serotek did do a customization for Vista to allow blind people to more easily use the speech recognition on Vista. And my guess is that they would do the same thing on Windows 7.
Now, this is Marcia again. A real quick question. Have they made many improvements with Narrator?
Unfortunately, no. Narrator has not changed any, as far as I know, since Vista. And the only real change in Vista from XP was that it had a better voice and did do, you know, some of the things around inside of Windows itself a little bit better. But no, unfortunately, I don't know why they've not enhanced Narrator any.
One more text question was, can you dual boot Windows 7 with Vista or XP?
Oh, yes, most definitely. The computer I'm running on right now is a dual boot setup. It can boot into either Windows 7 or Vista, and I could have just as easily had XP there as well and had the choice of going between Windows 7 and XP. So, yes, you can definitely do that. You don't have any prompting when you turn the computer on, so you got to get used to when you hit your up and down arrow keys and when you hit enter to select your operating system. Got to do that blindly, but once you get used to it, it's not hard to do, and I don't have much trouble at all doing it here. So the answer to that question is a definite yes.
One last question is about, do you know what the system requirements will be for Windows 7?
I don't recall the exact requirements. I know they're up on the Windows 7 website on Microsoft. I do know they are much, much lower than they are on Vista. As I said, the Windows 7 will easily run on a lot of these new netbooks that use just a 1.6 gigahertz processor and a gig and a half, 2 gigs of RAM. So you'll find that Windows 7 will run on a lot of the newer machines that, say, XP would run well on, you know, probably a gigahertz or a gigahertz and a half, you know, higher than that, and probably a gig or so of RAM and higher would be my guess.
Okay. We couldn't hear you there. Whoever was trying, I'm sorry. Any other questions, please?
One last question from text chat is from Kelly Burma. He says, one thing I have noticed in Windows Vista is that when you use Windows plus U, it would bring up the Ease of Access Center with no speech. One would then have to actually select Narrator. Is this something that has changed in Windows 7 so that one can access the Ease of Access Center right off the bat?
Windows 7 Ease of Access Center works exactly the same as it does in Vista. You would hit Windows U to bring it up. Normally, Narrator would start speaking. If it doesn't, the shortcut to get to Narrator is just simply Alt-N, and then after a few seconds, Narrator should start speaking for you. But no, the Ease of Access Center in Windows 7 works exactly as it does in Vista.
Okay, any more questions at this time? I'm sorry we can't hear you. Let me ask again. We're winding down here, it looks like. Any other questions, please?
Yeah, hi, this is Beth. I don't know, I had some technical difficulties. Did you get my text chat question, Bob? And if so, I will listen on the archives. Thanks.
Yes, we did, Beth, but I don't remember what it was. I'm sorry, but it was read and answered.
Okay, thanks. It was about email and also the voice recognition stuff.
Rick, do you remember what she was asking there? We've had a lot of questions.
Yeah, she was asking about the Saratech mail system and whether or not you could use it, and the answer to that is a definite yes. The second question was about speech recognition, and speech recognition does still exist in Windows 7. I've been told it's been enhanced from Vista, and yes, Saratech did do some customizations to system access to make it work well with the screen recognition on Vista, and I would definitely assume they would do the same thing on Windows 7.
Oh, this is Matthew again in Phoenix, and I'm wondering if you've had the need to run a compatibility program or things. In other words, have any programs that you've used in XP or Vista not worked well in Windows, and you've had to use the compatibility thing where you tell it where it last worked well?
Thanks. That is a great segue to one of the things that changed, or at least information changed after I did my presentation. I was saying early on in the presentation and in my introduction that there were plans to allow you to downgrade to XP. What I've found out this last week after the presentation was finished is that if you buy Vista Ultimate or Vista Professional, I guess the Vista Business, those users will get a licensed copy of XP with Service Pack 3, which will allow users to run XP virtually with side-by-side with Windows 7 apps, and that will be one of the new compatibility modes, I do believe, in Windows 7 that will allow places that were hesitant to maybe move up from XP to Windows 7. This will allow them to run their programs that would only run on XP side-by-side. Other Windows 7 applications. I have had a few difficulties here on the beta running certain things. I haven't been able to install a program like Super Anti-Spyware. It's been giving me fits. I personally haven't had to run anything in compatibility mode, but the feature does still exist and would be there for you if you had a program that you needed to run that way.
Okay, any other questions, please?
One last text question from John O'Rourke. Can Windows Mail be imported from Windows Vista to Windows 7?
No. Unfortunately, no. That there wouldn't be any way to do that.
Hi, Lillian again. Will you be leaving quickly, or, you know, if we have an off-topic question about a problem, will you be available to answer it? Thank you.
Yeah, I can stick around a little bit after the presentation's finished.
Hi, I recommend Viper, and I wonder if Windows 7 can work on that. And the only reason I brought up email was if people would like to use SAMNet email instead of the other email options that are available for mainstream users, that would be a great option too. Thanks.
I don't know the current status of Viper with Windows 7. I do believe those programs are all going to have some kind of updating in order to run. I have some weird problems here with Avast that I'm running. Avast shows it's up and running, but Windows will come up and tell me that it's not. I'm assuming that I am protected. I haven't come across any viruses, fortunately, but yeah, a lot of these programs are going to have at least a little bit of tweaking in order to run with Windows 7, I'm sure.
Okay. Let me check with Ron here. Any final text chat question, Ron?
That was the last of them.
Thank you. And any other final microphone question here, please?
Well, if you don't mind, it's Matthew again. Can you get a copy of like Outlook Express if you don't want to buy the whole thing of Office? Because I personally don't use all that stuff in Office, and that would be the only thing I'd really use would be Outlook. But can I grab a copy of Outlook Express somewhere for Windows 7?
You can't get Outlook Express since that is built in with you know, XP. But Outlook, which is in Office, I do believe Outlook is sold standalone, and you could buy it by itself. Don't I can't swear on that, but I'm almost positive that yes, you could.
Well, surely it must be possible because my copy of Office didn't come with Outlook, so therefore I'm assuming that you are correct.
Well, I wonder if maybe on a future Tech Talk we could, if someone knows, or if Rick, if you know how to use several email clients, maybe you could give a brief look at how each one looks, so maybe we could decide. I don't know if there's any free ones out there or low-cost ones. I've never investigated it.
Rick, can you tell us about the new calendar features that you said were now accessible?
You know what? One of the things I noticed, and I could just be overlooking it, but I could not find calendar in Windows 7. I believe they've pulled it. So, no, I can't tell you anything about it because I didn't find it anywhere in there.
My guess is that they're going to push everybody to the Windows Live calendar.
Rick, I noticed you had GoldWave in there in your computer. How does that work? Does it have any problems with that in Windows 7?
Can't tell you specifically yet because I haven't done any recording. This was all done on the XP system, and the audio from Windows 7 was put in through Mixer. But I am almost positive that it works just fine because it was compatible with Vista, and generally any programs that are compatible with Vista will run without any problems in Windows 7 for the most part. Oh, and Jeff, yeah, I do believe you're right. I would assume Microsoft is doing their best to get everybody to use the Windows Live suite of packages out there.
I got one more question. How does JAWS and Magic work with IE8 and IE7? It seems like there's a big difference between Internet 6... Internet 7 and Internet 8, and if you could elaborate on that, I'd appreciate it.
Well, I'm not a Magic user, so I really can't say a whole lot, but, you know, JAWS works just fine with the IE7 and IE8. IE8 will be included in Windows 7, so the minimum level of JAWS that's going to run well with Windows 7 would be 10 at a very, very minimum, but I'm almost positive to get 100% support for everything in Windows 7. You'll have to get JAWS 11, but that's about all I can say there.
Well, Rick, on behalf of Accessible World, we want to thank you so very much. I think it's very clear to all of us that you really do your research. You gave it was 52, 53 minutes of information all the way down, and then you answered questions. We appreciate it very, very much. And let me say, before I turn this over, Rick's going to stick around for a little while. Next week, we have Hadley School for the Blind, a discussion of their technology courses and how they're using technology with their students in their correspondence courses, etc. So that will be next week. So I thank you for coming, and we'll officially end the program. And again, Rick, thank you very much.